love that hymn. Doesn't get better than that, folks. Why would you listen to that 7-Eleven rubbish that's out there, amen? Fair dinkum. All right, let's go in our Bibles into Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You'll be glad to know we have left Ephesians chapter 4 after a while, and we've moved into Ephesians chapter 5. And we're just going to look at verse number 1 this morning. The title of the message is this morning is As the Children, taken directly from verse number 1 in chapter 5. one of the things I believe, church, that overwhelms us when we get saved is this realization that you're no longer alone. As you get older in age and you move on in your life, and many of you would have experienced that. I come from a big family, and the only ones left, me and my sister. In the space of a very short time, I lost most of my family to cancer. As you walk through life, you get this realization there's this sense of loneliness, not as far as you don't have people around you, but these people that were before you are sort of going away, and you're becoming older, and you lose a little bit of that childlike dependency on those that come before you. And then you get saved, and you have this wonderful realization that you have that again, especially when you get saved as an adult. You have this realization that you have your Heavenly Father, that God in heaven is there in that. And in my case, I very much see my Heavenly Father as my dad, you know, and we're going to have a look at, you know, Abba Father type figure, and that's overwhelming, and you realize, and you walk in that wonderful truth for some time, and as you get on in your Christian life, I don't know if you found that, but you tend to lose that realization, that walking truth. You sort of leave your Heavenly Father, you still acknowledge Him as God and your Savior, and the reverence is there, but that, like, that childlike dependence sort of wanes. And today in their scriptures, if Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians to remind them, don't ever forget the dependency on your God, not as a mature, not none of the, but as a little child. Church, never forget how dependent you should be on your Heavenly Father. And I don't say this irreverently, but He's your dad, your spiritual dad. And we need to maintain that dad-child relationship with Him throughout our Christian life. And that is the exhortation today that I want to remind you. I pray that this encourages you. You guys that have children, I pray that this encourages you to think on the kind of relationship that God wants you to have with your children, because that's the kind of relationship He wants to have with you. And I just pray that this message speaks to your heart like God spoke to me in preparing. And so Ephesians chapter 5 verse number 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God. How? What are the three last words there? As the children. So how does God, your Heavenly Father, how does God want you to follow Him? As the children. What does that mean? We're going to have a look at this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for the reminder this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me 52 years of life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to always remember the giver of that life. Lord, I pray that as a church, you'd help us to remember that everything we are and everything we have comes at your hands. And Lord, you have a way that you desire your children to see you, to fellowship with you, and to follow you as your children, as dear children. So Father, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to put aside the distractions of the week and of the world just for the next few minutes aside, and to concentrate on the Word of God. Lord, this is an important truth that you have for us here. Lord, it will help us in our Christian life. And I pray, Lord, you give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith this morning. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way with this message in the heart of your people this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Verse number one, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. I'm just going to admit to you, I'm going to say it, this chapter division is a bit weird to me, if I can say that. Any time that a chapter starts with therefore, it is so tightly connected to the verse before it that I reckon it shouldn't really be separated. Just remember, church, that the chapters and the verse numbers are not part of the inspired text, okay? The original letter was what? One really long document, okay? But we added the divisions, we added the chapter divisions, we added the verse numbers to help us find the text and to study the Bible and to get some context overall. So that's not a problem. But remember the fact is that we are in a section that in your Bible actually runs from chapter 4, verse 17 to chapter 5, verse 17. And again, it is comparing the old way of behavior when we were unsaved with the new way of behavior now that we are saved. And it's calling us to put off the old man and to put on the new man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And along the way, Paul discusses a wide variety of specific practical subjects that we have been talking about in church. Things like greed and lust and lying and telling the truth and how we deal with anger and even things like thieving, stealing, theft, right? And our work ethic and bitterness. And last week we had a look at kindness and forgiveness. And it is these last thoughts that led directly into Paul's illustration of this fellowship in chapter 5 and verse number 1. So from Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, have a look at it with me, says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verse number one, be ye therefore, because of all these things, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The question to this morning is why? Why be followers of God as dear children? Well, the first emphasis is because of who Jesus is, because of Christ. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children because of Jesus' sacrifice, his redemption, which brings our forgiveness. Because of his example. From chapter number 4 and verse 20, ye have not so learned Christ. He set the example as how to be a follower of God as a dear child. And we should follow God as dear children because he has, without a shadow of doubt, earned our fellowship. And through him, the Father has earned our fellowship. So because of what the Father and the Son have done, our response should be to follow God, to follow the Lord. And can I ask you an honest question this morning, church? What does it mean to follow God? What does it mean to follow the Lord? How would you answer that? For the next 16 verses, Paul is going to expand on what it means to follow God into the life of the new man. And again, church, he will set up before us the actions. And he's going to set up before us the thoughts of both of these and call us to put on the new man, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But just before he flows back into that pattern that he's been talking about that occupied the last half of chapter 4, he gives us a wonderful illustration here in chapter 5 and verse number 1. And he says there, look at it again, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." In the original language, it implies to be just like children. The relational contrast between children and fathers is illustrated so often, so widely, and so deeply of our own relationship with our Heavenly Father. It is often, if you've read your Bible for any amount of time in your Christian life, you know that it is often alluded to in the Scripture. I personally run into it constantly as a father in my own heart and in my own mind. We're dealing with my own children. Of how I want my children to view me is how I know the Heavenly Father wants me to view Him. So let me ask you a question again this morning. How do children follow? How do children follow? When we answer that, when we get a hold of that, we grasp the illustrative example that Paul is setting before us that we can apply to help us to follow our God, our Heavenly Father. Now, let me clarify something before we move on here to point number one. When Paul says here, as the children, he is not calling us to immaturity. Here, Paul is not calling us to have the level of ignorance of children. Or obviously to have the level of irresponsibility that children have. You see, folks, Scripture never praises childishness. It praises childlikeness. 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul said to the Corinthian church, putting away what? Childish things. And then yet in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 3, he praised us and encouraged us to have childlike trust. And we're going to be talking about that. So with that established, let me give you 5 aspects of how children follow that can and should be an example to us in relation into how you and I, we follow our Heavenly Father. Point number 1. How do children follow? Children follow with belief. Children take what their parents say as gospel truth, folks. They are innocent, as illustrated by the fact that they are so gullible, folks. You know the story of my dear daughter. She's sitting on the front and she's already going, oh. She believed for a long time, and I've told you this, that skim milk comes from skim milk cows. It was a passing comment. She believed that strawberry milk came from cows that eat strawberries. Childlike trust, faith, belief. The paper factory just down the road here on Foreshore Drive. My father-in-law told my wife when she was a kid that used to be a cloud factory. And so they drove past there, and Corinne used to see it, and that was a cloud factory. She took what the parents said with belief. Now understand, as we age, as we get older, we lose that. At first, we begin to question. They look at you funny, like they know there is something that isn't quite adding up to what you're suggesting. Every now and then, I still try to pull one over my daughter and my son. They're a bit wiser and more mature now. They do the old look, you know. You try, you know. But this is how you know that the children are maturing. Then as we get even older, then we become suspicious. We become weary. You could even say at times we even become cynical. We see that in our adult life when people promise you things and they tell things to your face and you know they're not going to do that. How often we go outreach and you have this great conversation with someone who's genuinely engaged and you give them a tract and they're talking and they tell you straight to your face, this was a great conversation, I'll be there for sure on Sunday. The cynic in me says, yeah, right, okay. They might show up, but we lose that taking what people say like children with belief. And Paul, here in our text, he seeks to take us back past all of that. You see, folks, because Christian maturity is the exact opposite of human maturity. Did you get that? Christian maturity is the exact opposite of human maturity. And he wants to take us back to when we simply believed everything that God said to us. Do you remember? Do you remember when you got saved and you had that hunger and thirst after righteousness and you just wanted to know more and more and more and you read your Bible and you came to church and you heard preaching and you just took it all in? Like a child with belief. And Paul here wants to remind us to go back to that. Because that is exactly how you and I ought to take our Father's word. Can I challenge you this morning? Do we still accept the word of God like that? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to look at a verse here, verse number 10. First Samuel chapter 3, verse number 10. Brother, I couldn't think of a better birthday present than get to preach the word of God on your birthday. Amen. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. You know the story? There's a young Samuel here. And God is calling him into a life of service. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Folks, how old is Samuel here? He's just a kid. I dare say he's probably 7 or 8 years old. And he's hearing the audible voice of God in his room that night. And his response to that, folks, listen, it's not normal. He isn't running out of the room screaming in fear like I would. You hear a voices in your room at night. I don't know, folks, that's pretty scary stuff. I have something ingrained in my brain which I'll be honest with you, I think it is my earliest memory that I've got, and I turned 52 today. This is how old this memory is, that we were in Argentina before we even immigrated to Australia. So I came to Australia when I was 6. So this must be between 3 and 6 years old. And I remember that my mum and dad took me and my sister, who's 4 years older than me, and that we went to dinner at someone's house at a friend's home, and as the custom is, when it gets a little bit later and the kids are restless, just put them down in one of the bedrooms, and they can sleep till mum and dad, and that's what, it's normally done. And I remember, they put me and my sister in this bed, and I was uncomfortable because, this house was just creepy. It was just a creepy home. And you're half asleep there, and they put us in, and they sort of, they didn't close the door, they sort of left it ajar, but they turned the lights on, and I was sort of half asleep, and me and my sister were just tossing and turning, and then I remember this. Ooh. Folks, me and my sister, we went white. And we just started screaming. What was it? I have no idea. But that in the dark, we just started. My parents ran into the. Everyone ran into the room. Like, what happened to these kids? And that's because of that. And I remember that, folks. Look what Samuel copped. Wasn't it? It was speaking. Folks, Samuel's response here is not normal. He's not running out of the room in fear and in screaming. Do you understand here that he's not questioning the sound? Do you understand here he's not questioning who he's speaking? Why? Because he knows it is God. He doesn't analyze why God is speaking to him. He is not asking here for proof or clarification from the voice. He simply believes the voice and responds. The question that I want to ask you is why? Why didn't he respond like an 8-year-old should respond to voices in the dark? Because he believed what Eli the priest had told him about what was going to happen. And he was prepared. And he just accepted that. He believed that. He followed the faith. He followed in faith of what his authority was saying. Understand, church, Samuel didn't say, Lord, can you confirm that? He didn't say, oh, I'll need more information first, Lord. He didn't say, can you prove it? He simply said, speak, for thy servant heareth. Folks, this is how children follow. With belief. Church, we used to take our Heavenly Father at His word like that. And somewhere along the way, life's disappointments has made us cautious. Things don't turn out like we want God to do them, and we grow doubtful of our Heavenly Father. Let me tell you, folks, God never stopped being faithful. We just stopped listening like dear children. Childlike faith is not unthinking faith. It is an unquestioning trust in a faithful Father. Amen? How do children follow? With belief. Point number 2. How do children follow? With trust. With trust. That word follow means to obey without question. You see, understand, church, that trust is different than belief, although it is closely related. To believe is to take you at your word. To trust is to place yourself unreservedly into the hands of another. That's a difference. You ever seen a child trust mum and dad in a swimming pool when mum and dad just sit in the pool and put their arms out and say, jump? What does the little kid do? He jumps. And if mum and dad don't catch him, he's going to learn how to float, amen? You know what that is, folks? That's trust. That's trust personified. One of the greatest illustrations that I love when I'm sharing the gospel with people is that you ask people, do you trust the Lord? And they say, yes, I trust the Lord. And then you question about some things that would they actually trust the Lord about. And very quickly you can show people that they say they trust the Lord, but they wouldn't give God control of that situation. That's not trust. I mean, we could do the exercise of trust right now if you wanted to. Who's ever seen those things where they tell someone to hold their arms and then they push them back and there's someone behind that's supposed to catch them? Would you like to have a go at it? We'll put Uncle Kurt behind you and see if he catches you. Yeah, I wouldn't trust him either, don't worry. That's trust. Church, children trust easily. Easily. They have a very little radar that doesn't see much beyond the confines of their own family. Again, that's how you know your children are mature and they begin to be skeptical about some things. Folks, as God's child, I am supposed to place myself unreservedly in the hands of my Heavenly Father. Unreservedly. And when God comes through for me, like He has every time, I need to share that with my family so they will learn to do the same. My children need to learn to trust God like I had to learn to trust God. And they will learn how? By watching you do that. By watching you trust the Lord. What is one thing that God desires and longs for? God longs for people to simply trust in Him. Amen. Yeah. I had a conversation just yesterday with another pastor. And he got that dreaded cancer call. And in his case, it's metastasized. It's spread. And he's telling me on the phone on the things that they're looking at doing and these things and folks, a lot of the time, trust me, even as a pastor, you just don't have the words. And all I said to him is, brother, look. Don't go in your mind to the worst case scenario and trust your God. Now, they weren't empty words, folks. They weren't simple platitudes from, you know, one friend helping another. I told him to trust the Lord because another pastor told me when I told them that I was diagnosed with cancer. And sometimes God allows these things in your life because He wants to build the trust that you have for Him. And nothing builds trust more than you realizing your complete ineptness to sustain your own existence. You're alive and well and sitting in church at the will of God. Are you thankful this morning? But children follow with trust in their parent. God longs for people to trust him. Like I long for my children to just trust me. I see some of you parents with little kids. You know, Andre and Leanne and I was looking at Tony and Kim with, you know, even Brother Morris with, you know, Grandpa with Abby and Vicky's here with her girls. And one of the things that we long for as parents is that they will trust the advice that we give them. Because you as mum and dad, you see things that they don't see. Oh, to God, that they would just see what I'm trying to tell them and take my advice, because I don't want them to hurt themselves. Because you and I, we've learned some lessons in life by hurting ourselves, and we don't want them to hurt themselves. God is saying that to you this morning. Trust me, my child. Understand that God loves you. God is for you. He's on your side. He only wants what's good for you. But I must trust myself to him completely in order to have that blessing. Jesus' object lesson illustrates this beautiful. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I want to show you a verse that a lot of the time we see it and we understand it, but we skim over the ramification of what's happening here. Mark chapter 9, verse 36 and 37. And he took a child there, it says, and set him in the midst of them, Jesus obviously, and when he had what? Taken him in his arms, this child, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. I want you to understand what is going on there. Jesus is trying to make an illustration, and he comes across and he picks up this young kid. Maybe 4, maybe 3, maybe 5, I don't know, I think he was a toddler. And what we have here is we have a biblical record that there is actually no record that child resists being taken up. You ever seen that? I saw that this morning. I saw Brother Michael pick up Dylan. Now, Dylan let himself be picked up because mum and dad were an arm's reach away. I don't know, brother, if you would have been that lucky if mum and dad weren't there. Here we have no record that this child resisted. We have no record this kid chucks a tantrum. The child doesn't brace himself, resist Jesus. The child doesn't ask questions as why he's being carried away. He allows himself to be lifted and to be held and to be positioned entirely by the Lord. Folks, this is not just belief. This is childlike trust. Trust. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit yourself. The word commit, roll yourself into. Exactly like that trust of the kid throwing himself in the arms of mum and dad on the side of the pool. Commit yourself. When was the last time that you committed yourself to the arms of your Heavenly Father? And not up here. I mean in here. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Folks, that child had no idea what Jesus was going to do with him. That child didn't know where Jesus was taking him. But he knew who was holding him. And church, that's trust. Know who's calling you to trust in him. Someone said, trust is not knowing what God is going to do. It is knowing God is. It is knowing who God is while he's doing it. And when God proves himself faithful, like you always have, then share it. Share it with your children. Your children need to hear about it. Because children don't learn trust by lectures, folks. They learn by watching. What was that child doing in that sermon when Jesus was speaking? Why was he there? I reckon because he had a mum and a dad that had trusted the Lord. Let's go. We're going to hear Jesus preach. And even at that young age, he saw a mum and dad that walked with Jesus. I think that's why he trusted God. Point number three, how do children follow? Children follow with humility, folks. Humility is the third one. When you get down to the core of a child's heart, children know. They know that they don't know much at all. That's why they ask why 1,000 times. You ever get that? Yeah. But why? Why do planes fly, Daddy? Because they have wings. But why? Well, because the wings make the air on top go quicker than the air on the bottom, so it produces lift, and that keeps the plane on flying. But why? Well, because it has a forward momentum that produces enough lift with the engine producing thrust that make the plane be able to fly. But why? There's never an answer. There's never an answer that satisfies some curiosity of a child. But why? Because they know they don't know much and then they want to know it all in one go. But they know with humility that they don't know much at all. But why? And let me say this to you. You cannot ask for help. You cannot submit to guidance if pride rules the heart. And you all have been around young kids and even some young people, especially in those formidable teenage years, that they know everything. They know everything. And a child that thinks that they know everything, you can't teach them much at all, folks. And scripturally, that is the difference between a fool and a wise man. How he or she views instruction. So let me say this to you, folks. Listen, nothing spiritual can be accomplished without humility, church. When I am filled with me, there is no room to be filled with the Spirit of God. How we come to church. If I come to church full of myself, there's no room for the Spirit of God to fill me and to teach me and to do something in my life. If I approach the Bible from a higher criticism that, you know, a Bible scholar, then I'm not humble in myself. I can't be fed. Prayer has to be done in humility. I need to humble myself to ask for help from my God. Andrew Murray said this. He said, pride must die in you or nothing of heaven can live in you. Pride must die in you or nothing of heaven can live in you. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That wasn't Gus, folks. That was the Lord Jesus Christ that said that. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Folks, there are some people walking around our midst that aren't going to be very much in heaven at all, just by the level of pride in life. Humble yourself. How do children follow? In humility. In humility. Point number four. How do children follow? Point number four. Children follow with perseverance, folks. Perseverance. I'll say it again. Kids are stubborn, man. Parents, kids are stubborn. They don't give up easily. Can I tell you something? That's a good trait. That's a good trait. If kids gave up, if children gave up easily, they would never learn to walk. They would never learn to sit up, to stand up. If kids gave up easily, they would never learn to write. Ask my daughter. She teaches five-year-olds. They wouldn't get anywhere if they just gave up. Because they fail a lot when they're just starting out. Now, these things are often painful for parents to watch. Are they not? It would be much easier to just do it for them. But then children wouldn't mature, folks. They wouldn't get anywhere. And one of the great keys to life is perseverance. You try again. You try again. You try again. It is mentioned again and again and again in Scripture. And anybody can do it. Church, I want to encourage you, learn not to give up. Be like a child. Be persistent. Have some holy stubbornness about you. One of the things that I like doing at the moment with a puppy in the house, it's amazing, Brother Kurt, how I've gone from motorbike illustrations in my sermons to puppy illustrations in my sermons. One of the things I like doing with Daisy is I'm teaching her some tricks, right? They're at this age now where she just absorbs everything and she loves her little treats. And I basically got Daisy now. She knows how to sit and she knows how to give me high five. And she knows down, she goes down. And she knows how to up and she stands up on her two little legs like that and she waits for her treat. And she knows all these things by command. Now, one of the things that I like her to do is I like to do, when I go like that and she sits, I said, come around, and I want her to walk around and come and sit, and then you give her her treat. So she's been sitting in there and I've been giving the treat. I say, around, around, and she walks around. She follows the treat around, 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 boom, and she sits there. Now, I would have done it 15 times so far. You do it and she doesn't get it. Not yet, all right? She'd tell wags and she goes all over the shop, but if there's no treat, she just doesn't understand. There's two things I can do, folks. I see the videos, cavoodles are smart dogs. I can either keep persevering with it and she will get it, or I can just give up and she'll never learn that. Perseverance. You will learn a lot when you persevere with God. Perseverance. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Listen to this. For a just man falleth how many times? Seven times. And what? Riseth up again. children are so notoriously persevering that sometimes they have to be told to stop. For example, in asking a particular question, no, you can't have a family block of chocolate for dinner. No. So in order to get to that, you know, that perseverance in our home is, well, listen, when it comes to something that you ask a question for that's a yes or no, and you get a no, no means don't ask again. The perseverant nature is good, but it has to be directed on the right stuff. But the perseverance is just part of who they are. Kids are persevering. And God encourages you to persevere in the right stuff. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we're going well with time. Are we okay this morning? Yeah? In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 5, we see the story of the persistent widow. We have a woman here who just would not stop. And in Luke chapter 18, verse number 1 to 5, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying..." So this is the lesson, the illustration that Jesus is teaching to enforce verse number 1. What was the lesson? The lesson was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. How is he going to illustrate that? How is he going to emphasize that? Verse number 2, saying, "There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she what? She weary me." Understand the illustration here, and that's all a parable is. It's this illustration. Don't look more into parables than the illustration that God is trying to illustrate just before it. But this widow in this illustration, in this parable, this widow is rejected. She's rejected repeatedly. I mean, folks, she's completely ignored. But she keeps coming back anyway. This is how children are. This is exactly how children are. They are told no, and then they what? They try again. They fall down, they'll get back up, and then they'll fall down again. They're persistent. Jesus' interpretation of this principle in Luke chapter 18, verse 7, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him?" They cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Let me tell you, folks, being persistent is not being a pest. Perseverance is not pestering. Perseverance is faith that refuses to give up. In our parable here, the widow didn't win because she was powerful. She won because she wouldn't quit. And church, that is how children follow. They don't give up. Children keep coming back, not because they always get a yes, but because they are secure in who they're coming to. I mean, do we get that? That's why a child asks, even after being told no. The child comes back after being ignored. They keep coming back after being disappointed. Why? Not because they're confident in the outcome, but because they're confident in their relationship. They believe, I can ask again, and I can persevere, because this is my dad. I can come back again and I can ask again and I can persevere because this is my mummy. This is my mum. I can persevere with them because I know that they love me. I can come again and ask again because I know I'm safe in asking again, coming back. That's why Solomon could say, a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. Because righteousness isn't measured by how many times you fall, by whether you get back up. And that is why Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Folks, my children didn't keep asking me all the time because I always said yes. They keep asking because they know that I love them. And church, that's exactly how God wants his children to come to him. Perseverance is born out of security, not success. Let me give you the last one. How do children follow? Children follow with a family likeness. Children follow with a family likeness. A child's character is a byproduct of their home, folks. I know each and every one of the adults' character simply by observing their children. Let me tell you, mums and dads, I know what you're like without even asking you a question. I look at your kids. Children can't hide that as well as adults do. If you want to know what mum and dad are like at home, in the normal, everyday running of the week, look at the kids. That word follow in our text implies to copy and to imitate. And we are to copy and we are to imitate God in our fellowship of God. Folks, I've said it 1,000 times. You cannot help but become like who you hang around with. I say it, don't I? You will always be like those you roll with. You will be like your friends. So choose your friends very, very, very carefully. Mums and dad, choose your children's friends very, very, very carefully. You are the most easily influenced during those formative years of childhood. Mum and dad, be careful what you say around your kids. Mum and dad, church, listen, be careful what you love around the kids. Be careful what you do, folks, because they'll be just like you. I would encourage you this morning, church, let us strive to become as soft and as moldable and as pliable in the presence of our Heavenly Father, and then let us enter that presence often. We need to come to our Heavenly Father as a little child enters into the presence of his mum and dad with that soft and moldable and pliable heart before God. We enter that way when we get saved, and then the living in this world, and then it hardens us. And today is a reminder we need to go back to that heart, that soft and pliable and teachable heart before our Heavenly Father. Let me give you one more illustration. Exodus 34, turn over there. We're almost done. Exodus 34. the story of Moses coming down from the Mount of God. And here in that, in Exodus 34, Moses comes down and he's reflecting the glory of his God. And look what he says in verse number 29, Exodus 34 and verse number 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, look at this, that Moses wist not that his skin of his face shone while he talked with him. He was glowing. The skin on his face shone, the Bible says. It gave out a luminescent light. Can I ask you something, folks? You know the answer, folks. Did Moses try to do that? Was Moses trying to shine? No. Moses didn't imitate that deliberately. He simply spent time in God's presence, and the likeness of God happened naturally. Moses didn't come down the mountain trying to look like God. He came down looking like God because he had been with God. And church, let me say this to you. Children don't become like their parents on purpose. They become like them by their proximity to them. Likeness is not taught. Likeness is caught. So let me say this to you. Christ's likeness is not achieved by knowing about Jesus, but by being with Jesus. You want to grow? You want to press ahead this year in Christ's likeness? Just spend time with Jesus, folks. Be with Jesus. And that is why Paul says here, be ye therefore followers of God, imitators, being a copycat as kids are, as dear children. Because if we stay near our Father, we will not help but start to look like our Father. Amen? Stay close to Jesus. Let me close with this. Church, you know, I preached to you a 35, 40-minute message today, and this message is not calling us to do something new. It is calling us to return to something that we once had. To believe our Heavenly Father once again without suspicion. To come and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ once again without any kind of reservation. To come and stand before Him and to humble ourselves in His presence without any sort of pride. To come and to persevere and to walk with God without the thought of quitting and giving up. To become like Him by staying close to Him. Nothing new, folks. The question this morning is not, does God love me as His child? The question is, am I living like a child who knows he is loved of the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I living like a child of God that knows that he is loved by God? Is that what our life is portraying at the moment? Church, this week, let us stop trying to manage and micromanage our walk with God. And let's just simply follow God as dear children. And all of God's people said? Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you did not save us to keep us at a distance, but to bring us near. Lord, you saved us to bring us close, literally as sons and daughters of God. And Father, we pray that you would forgive us, Lord, for the times when we have grown guarded, we have grown suspicious, we've grown proud at times, and even, Lord, dare we say, we have grown self-reliant. And Father, we pray this morning as a church and as individuals sitting here that you would restore in us a childlike heart towards you. One that simply believes you. One that simply just trusts you. A heart that humbles itself before you. A Christ-like determination to persevere in you. And one that simply reflects you. Help us, Lord. Help us this week to walk closely with you. To listen when you speak and to follow where you lead. And Father, I pray that our homes, our church, and our lives bear the family likeness of our Father in heaven. We ask these things in the precious and worthy name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. All right.